So there was an older woman who had gone to church, and she was coming home, and it was night. As she got to her house, she realized that the door was open. But being emboldened, she walked in. And there she saw an intruder standing in her kitchen going through the drawers. She was behind the intruder, and she yelled out the only thing that came to mind. She said, "Stop! Acts 2:38. That's a Bible verse, which means turn from your sin. But that's all she said. "Stop! Acts 2:38. The burglar stopped dead in his tracks. Didn't move. She picked up the phone. She called the police. She told the police he was there, and they came out immediately. They handcuffed him. And as they are leading him out, the policeman asked, "Wait, why did you stand there? It was just an old lady yelling at you a scripture verse." The burglar said, "A scripture verse? No, no, she said she had an axe and 2.38s. I'm saying. Okay, so we're embarking on a new journey here now that Epiphany has arrived. Epiphany starts on January 6th, and it is that 12th day after Christmas. And that's the traditional time in which the wise men arrive, and they announce to the world that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the King coming into it. And then these next 6 weeks are the weeks of Epiphany leading up to Lent. During this time, we're going to do the sermon series on Paul's final thoughts. As final thoughts that we find in this book of Ephesians. Now, Ephesians is one of those prison epistles. Epistles are a really fancy word. You can use it as much as you like. It really means in Greek letter. That's what it means. So, you know, the next couple days say, "Yeah, I wrote an epistle to my friend." And they'll say, "What are you talking about? I wrote a letter." Okay. Anyway, but it's a prison epistle, and it's written around the year 62 AD at the beginning of the height of the Great Persecution. Paul wrote it from Rome. It's a Catholic epistle. It's Catholic in the sense that it was not only intended for that church that he was sending to in Ephesus, but for all of us of all times. So what they did was they took it to Ephesus, they started copying it, and then sent it to all the churches there in Asia Minor and all the way around, so that Ephesus became one of the more widely read letters. In it, we're starting in this last chapter on his final thoughts. And Paul's general way of writing is, he does a greeting at the beginning of the letter, acknowledges who he is, what his place is, like he's an apostle. And at the end, almost all the letters, he starts shooting out thoughts. And they appear to be random thoughts. And at the end of the letter, he says, "Greet these folks in my name." We're looking at those final thoughts that he's sending out at us. And the first of his final thoughts is that we're to be strong in the Lord. As Paul has said it, he didn't just announce it. He told us how to do it. How can you be strong in the Lord in the middle of all that goes on that seems to be so wavering and so shifting and so changing? He starts off by saying that this idea that we're to rest in God's might. Now, that's not a new thing in scriptures. Nehemiah said it in chapter 8, verse 10. He said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." In the New Testament, as we looked at the life and ministry of Jesus, the strength's found in his resurrection. That on the cross, we find the fact that he forgives us. But it's that next event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, him coming back from the grave, that we find the power, that we find that's where we can rest strong in the Lord. Paul, in another spot, highlighted this. This is 1 Corinthians. We got very poetic, at the same time very theological. And if you doubt that can happen, read the end of 1 Corinthians 15, from 35 on to the end. Paul does it. He gives you theology that looks like poetry. I'm going to read the last couple verses, 56 through the end, which is 58. Here's where Paul said, "Strength of the Lord is found." He said, "The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So the important point that Paul tries to tell us that's throughout all of Scripture is that we can stand strong in the Lord. Now, many of you may have made New Year's resolutions a couple days ago. Okay, this is the first Sunday after that. Many of you have said, you know, I'm going to be better. I'm going to try and be better. I'm not going to do A, B, C, D. I am going to do D, C, E, and F, and it might be different order, but you're going to do that. You're going to try and be better this year. I want to point out how Paul phrased this, that. Paul didn't say, be strong in you. That's not what he said. He didn't say, you be strong. No, he said, be strong in the Lord. It's a powerful thought. Where he's telling us, for us to find strength in our own lives, we have to grab onto the greatest strength that's out there, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Now, as you all know, I do love football. You all know that. And I love the fact that I'll be watching deep into February my team. Hint, hint, wink, wink. I won't say anymore. But you know, I was watching the games yesterday. And tomorrow night is going to be the National Collegiate Championship. And the way in which this works is that teams look at the other team's weakness and they attack it. And that yesterday was very apparent as you were watching the games. They attacked the weakness of the other team. And the end result was they had a victory because they went after the weakness. I want to point out what the weakness in your life is. You know what the weakness is? It's you. It's me. It's we human beings. That's why Paul didn't say be strong in you. He said be strong in the Lord. So what we're going to do is envelope, cover ourselves with the Lord God himself and all the goodness that's found in the Lord, all the greatness that's found in his forgiveness, all the power found in his love. And when we cover ourselves in that, there's no longer weakness because we're strong in the Lord. Now, Paul pointed this out so that we would understand what runs throughout all of Scripture. From Genesis chapter 3 all the way through Revelation 22 is what we call dualism. There are opposing forces in our life. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 doesn't hide it, that we are in this battle between opposing forces. Now, today when you came, you had opposing forces raining down on you, right? You had that cold you had to go. Now, none of you, I know none of you, got in the car and said, yep, more of the same, air conditioning. I know none of you did that. I don't even have to pretend, because I know you didn't. You probably charged your car up. That's what I did. I went out 10 minutes ahead of time, turned it on, let it run, and then I went out, and then we were blessed with the opposing force to the cold, right? And the opposing force to the cold was warmth, was heat, was hot. The Bible doesn't hide the fact that we live in a world where there's a dualism, two forces opposing each other. And it could be the force of evil versus the force of good, the force of darkness versus the force of light, the force of hate versus the force of love. Paul boils it down. It's the force of the evil one versus the force of the God of love. Now, interestingly enough, Jesus highlighted this. On this Sunday every year, as we follow the lectionary, is a three-year cycle of scriptures. Three-year cycle is of, if you wanted to preach on this, it would cover the main points of the Bible in 3 years. This first Sunday of January is always the baptism of the Lord event. And so this first Sunday is always Jesus getting baptized, and then the resultant, what happens? The Spirit drove him out into the wilderness so he could be tempted by the devil. The devil. Two opposing forces out in the wilderness. The force of Jesus, the bringer of light and love and forgiveness, and the force of the evil one, who brings hate and bitterness and anger. It's highlighted throughout all of our scripture. Now, the reason why the Apostle Paul brings this to us is so that in our days to come, trying to live for Jesus Christ, as we have those weak points that sit out there, we don't allow that to be attacked, and we don't fail. Rather, he wanted us to know how we can be strong in the Lord. In the book Screwtape Letters, written by C.S. Lewis, it was a book club book. It's a fascinating book. C.S. Lewis, in his most amazing figurative moment, took the discussion between one senior level demon and a lower level demon attacking a person who became a Christian. And they were attacking them, guess where? At the weak points. If you want to find Ephesians 6:12 in a book, read Screwtape Letters. If you want to be scared to death, listen to it on tape. It is frightening. I'll tell you, don't listen at night because you won't sleep that night. Unless, of course, you bathe yourself by being strong in the Lord, because there, God empowers us. Now, in our society today, with your New Year's resolution, you want to, like, be successful. And when growing up, I know the way in which they taught me to be successful was focusing on the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. I always think it's kind of funny because two of the three R's don't start with R. But if you're good at reading and writing and arithmetic, you will be successful in this world today. It's a given. Nowadays, in our world of bullies, there's a lot of discussion how to defend yourself. And by the way, since that huge discussion this last fall about, you know, predators sexually, the rise of those who go to, like, karate places has been phenomenal. People defending themselves. To be successful against bullies, they went and they go out and learn, you know, the martial arts. The Apostle Paul says to be successful spiritually is to be strong in the Lord, and to do that, you put on the full armor of God. Now, in the days to come, we're going to talk about each of these pieces that we just heard about. I read about earlier, the belt, the breastplate, you know, etc., etc. But that's how we're to be spiritually successful. The Apostle Paul just didn't say be strong. He said, here's how you do it. He didn't just give us a command, an admonition. He said, I'm going to give you the plan. Now, throughout the course of this past year, in my columns, in my newsletter, I've given you a different facet of this armor of God. They're called spiritual disciplines. And that's one of the ways in which you are able to be strong in your spiritual self and thus be spiritually successful. It was things like come to worship. And by the way, pat yourself on the back. The coldest day of this year, you are here. And we've warmed you up. It's warm in the sanctuary. Hopefully you got warmed by what we're doing, and then we'll warm you up with communion. And then there's confession and forgiveness that I shared. There's evangelism. Come to Sunday school. Live a simpler life. Take those times to be away from everything and live in solitude. But one of the ones I'd like to highlight to you, which is one of the gifts and also one of the pieces of the armor of God, is to know Scripture. And so in the back, as you leave today, I have a one page that gives you how to read the Bible in a year and to do it chronologically, in order as it would have been, not in order of the books. So you'll read like Genesis 1 through 11. We call that prehistory. And then you read all of Job. And then you go back to Genesis 12, which is the record of our salvation history with the beginning of Abraham. But take that as part of you learning how to be strong in the Lord, how to guard against those weak spots, how to be able to be prepared. Now, in these final thoughts on the Apostle Paul, the reason why he gave them to us is because he lived in a world that was multicultural, in which a new trend was rolling down different time frames. We live in a similar world in which new trends are coming. And the key is so that we won't be always on the wave of a new trend or a new thought or a new idea, so that we would live in the truth and love of our Savior, so that whatever occurs out in society, we can use this that we learn in our Scripture, this which we learn by coming together, this we learn in our Bible study, of being able to use it as a lens, to be able to say, is this something I should be pursuing? Is this a worldly trend or is this a godly trend? Is this something I need to highlight or something I need to fall away from? That's the power of putting on the armor of God. The power of learning your Scriptures so that whatever's over here on this side doesn't take you unawares, doesn't tear you down, doesn't pull you apart. So during the next 5 weeks now, I'll be away one of them, we will learn about this armor pieces of God and what parts we're going to put on and how we'll put them on so that we can be strong in the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful way our lives have been touched by you, for the love that you've given to us. May we realize that you're the ultimate truth in this universe, that by following you, we find the ultimate way in which we can ground ourselves and that we can stand firm because we're strong in you. Thank you, Lord God, for the way in which you've extended to us the variety of tools and pieces in which we can truly be successful in this life, successful spiritually, and thus then we would be successful mentally, emotionally, and physically. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior. It's in His name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.